Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Showing Up to Your Life podcast and YouTube channel. My name is still Art Burns, and I am still very excited to be here to share with you some ideas and some concepts and all kinds of good stuff that I like to share in these episodes because, you know, I do this because I know that there's people listening. And so I thank you. I just really want you to know I say this a lot, but I just want you to know that how much of a part of this whole thing you are. And I mean you specifically, okay? I don't mean to point at you, I'm sorry, but I mean you, each one of you who is listening to this, each individual who clicks on these videos and opens them up and opens the emails that I send out and shows that they're, you know, watching a little bit of the video, you know, all of this is so important to me, right? It's not a, this is a cyclical, collaborative experience here or endeavor, right? It's not just me. If it was just me, the content wouldn't be nearly as compelling as it is. The content is as compelling as it is. Whether that's compelling enough or not, I don't know. But it is as compelling as it is for the reason that I know that you're listening to me and specifically because of the feedback that I receive from you. Okay, so if there's anything that you would like to hear me cover, if there's anything that you don't want me to ever cover again, if there's a question that you have about something and you want me to go a little deeper into it, I would love to hear from you on that. Okay, seriously, like send me an email and tell me what you want me to talk about. It's happened before. There's been quite a few people actually who have done this and I love it. You know, not only does it give us something new to kind of explore, but it also just gives us such a, you know, it opens up potentials and in a really beautiful and powerful way. So again, anything that you think that you would like to have me cover here or talk about or mention or just say hi to you. Maybe you're saying, like, you know, your mom's birthday and you want me to say hi to her on the podcast. Whatever it is, please let me know, okay? I would be more than happy to cover anything that's, you know, appropriate to the subject matter, but I would be more than happy to explore any topics that any, you know, duly appropriate topics that you might send in. Secondly, I want to share a little bit of news with you. now, I know that I had mentioned this a few weeks ago, a few times, but you know what? Life has happened, and I'm going to accept that life has happened, and I'm going to declare that it's not my fault that life has happened. But a few weeks ago, I had started talking about, a new program that I'm coming out with, right? And I've got everything designed, I've got everything kind of, you know, ready to go, but there's, you know, again, life has happened the last few weeks, just some things have come up and it just got pushed back, okay? And so I am going to start, I'm going to put the timeline in about 2 weeks, maybe three. I want to just give myself a chance to, you know, again, I have the whole program figured out, but I want to be able to market the program to get as many people, you know, kind of aware of this as possible, but you'll certainly be the first people to hear about it right here, right now, which is I'm going to do a course that really, you know, it's about being happy, right? It's about the scientific approach to building the skill of happiness, okay? But specifically, I'm going to talk to people, and it's not only these people, but I feel very called and very drawn to talking to people who have dealt with very, you know, serious anger issues, right? Because that's where I come from. You know, I've had, you know, through my whole life, I've developed, you know, the issues of anger reactivity have developed in my body for my entire life, right? And that's something that we talked about yesterday. I'm going to get into that again in the topic for today. But anger is the thing for me. Right now, anger is not the thing for everyone, right? Some people, you know, like my wife and I, you know, go back and forth on this all the time, or at least I tell her all the time that, you know, my wife is someone who, you know, when things go rough, you know, and things get a little difficult, her emotional reactivity is to cry. Right. And that's where she goes to. And that's, you know, whatever. It's been frustrating at various times in my life, but whatever it is, you know, that's how she processes things. Myself, on the other hand, I have a really hard time crying. You know, I can't just, you know, and there's times where I would love to be able to cry instead of getting angry and screaming and stuff like that. It just doesn't work for me that way. My body just doesn't process the emotions or the reactivity or the stress in that way. My body processes all that in the form of anger, and that's who I am. That's what makes me who I am, or one of the things that makes me who I am. And that's one of the things that makes my wife who she is, right? That she goes to, you know, sadness and grief and shame, maybe, right? Everyone is different. Right. And so the marketing stuff that I'm putting together and the message that I'm putting out to there to people are, you know, I really want to, you know, and again, it doesn't disqualify you if you're not an angry person. You just want to learn how to be happy. You're welcome in this course. Right. But the real, you know, sort of target of this, if you will, and I hesitate to use that word because I'm not shooting at anybody or anything, but the sort of ideal client, if you will, is somebody who has gone through what I've gone through, which is anger reactivity. So if you're feeling like you have this thing with anger, this relationship with anger that feels, you know, oppressive and feels like you can't get out of it, we need to talk, okay? And you need to consider coming into this next program that's going to launch in about 2 or 3 weeks. You're going to hear much more about it over the next couple of weeks. I'll give you plenty of time and plenty of information to sign up for it, but you can be one of the first at this point to just start the conversation. And to do that, I'm going to leave the same link that I leave in most of my descriptions these days, which is the link to my Calendly program, right? Calendly is an online calendar application. You just, you know, you click the link that's in the description, you'll open up into my calendar. Okay. And in my calendar, you're going to see the times that are available to me, the time you click on a date and then the available times show up on the right side. Whichever one works for you, click that, you enter your name, your email address, you answer a couple of quick questions, and then we're booked. And then all that's left to do is we're either going to do a Zoom call or a phone call, and I will arrange all of that. So literally, your work is done the minute you click save or whatever it is, enter whatever it is. As soon as you do that, your work is done. I handle everything from there. So if you're interested in exploring this concept of anger and how to be happy and the science of happiness, well, please click that link and book a call and let's get into a conversation, okay? Because I do expect the spots to fill up pretty quick. I mean, I have an amazing program put together and I'm really excited about it. And I have a feeling that once I do start talking about it, it's going to fill up pretty quick. And so this is not a marketing ploy to get you to act now or anything like that. I'm just being honest with you because you are my peeps, right? You are my tribe. So I want to make sure that you get the first possible shot at this. Okay. So that's what I'm talking about here before I've even put out any advertising or anything like that. Pardon me again, please. Okay. So now that we've kind of done that little housekeeping work, and again, you'll hear plenty of announcements about that, but if you have any questions, you can also email me questions if you like. You know, we don't have to necessarily talk. You just send emails in and we can do it that way too. The old fashioned email back and forth. But today let's get into new business. Okay. So this week, you know, we've really talked about how, you know, over the last few days, we've talked about how, you know, the sense of, you know, the nervous system and how, you know, how our automatic reactivity is really stored inside our nervous systems, right? And how it becomes just this sort of automatic way of reacting. Please excuse me with the coughing. So I want to take that a little bit further because as I talked about yesterday, right? The idea is that, you know, like again, as I just said, like for me, that reactivity is anger. As I said a few moments ago, you know, that is not the case for everyone, right? Like, you know, like I said, my wife, but even you, you know, you might not feel anger as a automatic response, right? Your, you know, automatic emotional response might be something different from anger, but many of us have something. And you know, to take it further, not only is that the case, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, but it's also very helpful to understand that you know, I am not an angry person, or let's not even use those words, right? But my, you know, my body's natural emotional response is anger, not because because I chose to be this way, right? It's like I always joke, like, nobody, you know, when I was a newborn baby, or even in the cosmic mystical realm, nobody handed me like a questionnaire where I clicked ticked a box that said, you know, I want to be angry for the rest of my life, right? Or versus shame or guilt or insecure or whatever it is, right? We don't get those choices, right? Nobody asks our permission for this stuff, right? And that really ties us into what I was talking about before, or yesterday and the day before, rather, is that, you know, it's not our fault, right? It's not your fault that you are the way you are. Right? It's not my fault the way I am, right? It's, you know, I guess it could be seen that it's my fault if I stay the way that I am, right? That I have control over, because now that I know how to do things to change it, well, now it's on me if I do those things or not, right? So there is a personal agency involved here, and it's an important personal agency, right? But where you find yourself right here, right now, it is not your fault. And again, this is a very valuable and helpful concept, because, you know, so often we get the sense that, you know, that there's something wrong with us, right? That this is something that we've, you know, kind of somehow chosen to be. And the problem with that is that the guilt and the shame that come with that concept only make it more difficult to try to figure a way out of it, right? And try to figure out how not to be this angry person, or this shameful person, this grieving person, or this insecure person, however it is that that manifests for us, right? And so that's the sense in which, you know, emotional reactivity, you know, really kind of, you know, is a result, as I've talked about all this week, as how it, you know, it lives in your nervous system. So it's not something that you necessarily ever had full control over. And so that's really important and really valuable to understand. And because it comes down to, you know, it comes down to, you know, your ancestors, right? Your parents, your grandparents, your teachers, your coaches, your friends, your friends' parents, their grandparents, their aunts, their uncles, your cousins, all these people had so much influence even before you were born, some of them. Right? So in every real and physical and logical way, it's not your fault. All right? So now, what I wanted to talk about today, though, right, and because that's kind of what we've covered all up till this point, right? But what I wanted to talk about today is the concept of, you know, why do we do things like worry, right? And you know, and it's not just worry, right? It's also, why do we go to places of shame? Why do we go to places of anger? Why do we go to places of, you know, whatever it is, right? Grief or shame or anger, any of those, right? You know, and let's start with worry, because worry is a one that we can really kind of understand, I think, in a pragmatic way, which the others are maybe a little less so. Okay, and this came up to in a meditation class that I was only attending. You know, as you know, I do this other podcast with my dear friend Adam Asdell. We do a weekly, two weekly classes where we do not really classes. They're two weekly meetings where we do meditation and a discussion after the meditation, right? And so it was one of these, and it's actually the one that Adam was hosting that I just kind of was hanging out in. But something came up that, and I'm trying to remember exactly the context of how it came up, but basically the person was, there was a person who was meditating, and this person was talking about how she was having a really hard time, you know, with worrying, right? That you know, she was experiencing, you know, some home insecurity, which, I mean, what's more scary than your home insecurity? Like, there's nothing more scary than that, right? And so this person was having a hard time with worrying, you know, and she found herself just constantly worrying, right? And of course, you know, one of the key concepts to mindfulness and all of the practices that I talk about here one of the key concepts is the acknowledgement that worrying is in the future, right? Or the past, right? But one way or the other, when you're worrying about something, you're putting your energy into something that you probably can't control, right? It's either an undetermined future that you really don't know what's going to happen, or it's something that's already happened in the past, right? And so therefore, the worrying is just not sensible. It just doesn't help. It doesn't make any sense to worry, right? There's a great one of those little like infographic things, right? That was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, this one was actually had the Dalai Lama's name on it. But it said, I forget the total concept, and I've talked about this before, and I still haven't looked it up. I think I fumbled the same way before. But essentially it was saying like, okay, so you have a problem, right? Is there anything you can do about this problem? And over here it was yes. Okay, do that, right? Or no, I'm sorry. It said yes, there's something you can do about it, so then why worry, right? And then down here it said no. And so the next question was, then why worry, right? Like the whole concept is that if there's something you can do about something, then there's no need to worry. But if there's nothing you can do about something, there's also no reason to worry, because the problem is that the worrying, all it does is creates this tension in our body, and it creates the stress in our body, and it creates the anxiety of the mind, and it creates this whole response in our body that puts us into a place. Not only is it a place of extreme discomfort and a place in which we're not able to relate to those around us, but it also inhibits our ability to creatively think about the problem that we're trying to solve. So you're actually, by worrying, you're actually taking away your resources to alleviate the worrying. That's how I feel like I'm talking to Yossarian from Catch 22 here, right? Like that's so maddening, right? And so when my colleague Adam, mentioned this to the woman in not so many words, I mean, he used his own words for it and stuff, but he mentioned this to the person who was in our group, and yeah, he's right, and it makes sense, right? But then I stepped in because I wanted to make sure, because again, when we do that, right, when we start thinking in those terms, like, okay, if there's nothing I can do about it, then I shouldn't worry. And if there is something I can do about it, then I shouldn't worry either, right? So now what does that bring up, right? What that brings up is the concept that, well, then I'm worrying for nothing. And so therefore, there's something wrong with me. Like, I can't stop worrying. And so therefore, I must be broken. I must be flawed. I must be a personal failure of some kind. Now, do you see where that's going to bring us? Because the minute we start thinking in those terms, right, we're going to go right back into that same stress place, right? And we're going to start feeling the anxiety of like, oh my gosh, how am I such a bad person? What am I going to do? How am I going to live my life? Boom, 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 boom. Now we're in the fear, and now stress is happening in our body. And in that stress, again, we are not even able to see clearly the things that we're worrying about, or see clearly this perceived flaw that we have. We're not seeing any of it for what it really is. We're seeing it through the prism of our fear-based stress. And our fear-based stress is a beautiful and finely tuned tool, instrument, that's good for one thing and one thing only, and that's your survival. Right. So if you're just looking to survive your life, well, then sure, live in stress. Go for it. You're going to live a shorter life, so you'll survive it. You'll get to the end of it quicker. That's a macabre joke, of course, and I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Right. So if you want to thrive in your life, well, then that's where we got to talk. Right. And that's what we're doing here. Right. And so the thing that I told this woman, or I announced to the whole group, because one of the things about learning in a group, and this pertains to the program that I'm going to launch in a couple of weeks here, 2 or 3 weeks, is that when we learn in a group, some really fascinating things happen, right? Number one, you have a sense of inclusion and a sense of community, right? So you have this sense of like, okay, if I fall behind somehow, there's going to be somebody lift me up, right? Which is a really powerful thing. You also, though, equally as important, right, maybe more important, is or more valuably, is that when one person asks a question in a group, right, like this woman brought up this thing where she was having such a hard time because of her, you know, home insecurity, and she was just filled with worry, and it was just so hard to do, right, that when one person asks a question like that, everybody in the group hears that question and hears the answer given to the question. And so therefore, and this is what I tell all of you all the time, if there's a question that you have, if you ask the question here and I answer it, there's, you know, I think I have, let's see, there's a couple of hundred people on the podcast. There's 300, just reached 300 subscribers on YouTube, which woohoo, I'm so excited about that. And then there's my mail list, which is another, like, 3,000 people receive my mailing every day, right? So you are potentially helping. I mean, I didn't even do the math. So it's like 600, 700. So it's like almost 4,000 people that you have the opportunity to help just by asking your question, right? So that's powerful, right? And so that's what happens when we're in a community, in a really beautiful way. And so what I explained to the group in light of this woman's concern and expression is that, you know, it's important to understand why we worry. And it ties right in, as I said, I'm using worry as the easy example, but it ties also into why do we get reactive? Why do we get angry? Why do we become shameful? Why do we become grief? Why, you know, of course, there's reasons for many of these things, right? But when it's not in an intentional way, right, when we find ourselves just worrying for, you know, just for the sake of worrying, or we just get angry for no real apparent reason, right? That's the kind of space that I'm talking about. And so the reason why we do these things, right, is because it feels productive. So let me explain to you what I mean by that, right? So again, that little infographic thing that I explained to, from the Dalai Lama, right? So is there something you can do about it? If yes, then why worry? If no, then why worry, right? So it's very easy to tell people that, to say like, look, worrying doesn't do anything, so stop doing it, right? But that's not enough, right? Because what happens is that when we're in a place where we're feeling concerned about something, right? Where something is alive for us, where, you know, we're feeling the fear of something, right? Well, then worrying feels productive. So even though there's nothing you can do about it, right, like the Dalai Lama's little meme says, right, even though there's nothing you can do about it, and we know that worrying doesn't help, at least it feels like you're doing something. So it's almost like, you know, if there's nothing I can do, at least I can worry, right? At least I can feel the emotion that makes me feel like I'm not at least just not sitting there and just letting things happen, because there's nobody who enjoys that feeling. That's part of the curse of humanity, right? That we feel like we have to be in control. We have to be, moving forward. We have to be accomplishing things and all this stuff. These are all constructs of the human mind. The reality is that like all other creatures on the planet, they're just there, right? And they're just letting life happen around them. Right. And yeah, I mean, sure, there's, you know, the fact of the matter is that sometimes the gazelle, you know, doesn't think about the fact that any day now it might be eaten by the lion. Right. It just lives. Right. But we have a really hard time doing that. And that's why we feel that if I at least I'm putting my emotional strength and energy into this thing, at least I'm doing something. I'm not just sitting here, because that's unacceptable. Right. But the reality is that that's a trap, right? Because again, when we worry, even though it feels productive and it feels like it's the right thing to do, by worrying, what we're doing is we're inviting stress. And when we invite stress, we change the way our entire organism is operating, specifically the way the brain is operating. And what happens is, you know, by worrying, what we do is we push all of the energy in our brain down to the emotional level, which is the automatic reactive place, not the place where we figure stuff out. In fact, that part of our brain is the same as the gazelle. Right. So you're literally taking away all the advantages that you have of your intelligence. You're just giving it away by worrying. Right. And so when we can start to look at it in those terms, now there's an active reason not to worry. But I just want to remind you, the worrying is not your fault. You're doing it because it feels like something that you should be doing. Okay, so it's important to recognize that. It's important to go easy on yourself with this. It's important to give yourself that forgiveness that, you know, that I'm worrying even though it's not productive and I'm causing myself stress. Forgive yourself for it. That's the first step. Seriously, folks, that is really important, because unless you can do that, if you dwell in the unforgiveness of that, you're only going to invite more of those emotions, which are going to create the stress, which are going to create the confusion, which are going to take away your ability to clearly and effectively deal with whatever it is you're trying to deal with. Okay, so how do we do this, right? Just like anything else, it's a practice, right? The first couple of times you do it, you're going to be horrible at it. Okay, you are. You're going to just screw it up royally. Okay, so let's celebrate that, right? Let's celebrate. Yes, we're all going to fail. Yes, I love failing, because failing in a beautiful anagram can be looked at the first attempt in learning. Acronym, not anagram, pardon me. First attempt in learning. So many times when I'm talking to people in my coaching sessions, you know, failure is seen as this end result. Failure is nothing of the sort. Failure is a mid-step. It's a point in a process. Okay. And if we can look at it that way, and we can approach this and say, okay, I'm gonna set to working on not worrying. But I know that the first few weeks I'm gonna really screw it up. I'm totally gonna screw it up. I'm gonna fail. And I know I'm gonna fail. Doesn't that feel good to say that? Like, I know I'm gonna fail, but I'm gonna do it anyway. Because as I fail, I learn. And as I learn, I grow. And as I grow, I gain skills. And as I gain skills, I fail less. You see what happens? Okay. And so walking into it with the knowledge that, yes, I am going to fail and that's okay. Right. Now the practice becomes just literally, it's as simple as, and now there's, of course, this builds upon all of the mindfulness practices, right? So do all of the different mindfulness practices, or as many of them as you can that I talk about here, right? Which includes a daily meditation. It includes informal practices in terms of, you know, practicing mindfulness while you're brushing your teeth or driving your car taking a shower, cleaning the house, cooking, eating, all that stuff, right? You can practice mindfulness in any of those areas that will help to cultivate the skill that we're talking about here, okay? So all of those practices are still very valid and still very necessary. And then on top of that, to specifically address the worrying, it's as simple as this, okay? And again, it's simple only as you're doing those other practices, right? You can just do this practice, but it's going to not seem as simple, okay? But it's still doable. But the practice is very basic and very straightforward, okay? Anytime you find, it first starts with an intention, okay? Pardon me for that, okay? First, set the intention. Set the intention first thing in the morning, before you even get out of bed in the morning, right? You say to yourself, and say it out loud, okay? Say, I am going to worry less today, or I'm going to acknowledge that worrying is not helpful and I'm going to avoid it. Okay, some kind of intention like that. Say it out loud, because as you set the intention, you're paying attention to that thing. As you pay it, where your attention goes, your energy flows. Okay, and then remind yourself of that intention throughout the day. Set an alarm on your phone to go off 4 or 5 times during the day, and just on the screen when the alarm goes off, say intention. Right? Or worrying intention or something like that. And just remind yourself to set that intention again. Okay. So if you set the intention 5 or 6 times a day, it's going to start seeping in much sooner. Now, once you've set the intention, now it's as simple as when you find yourself worrying, just bring yourself back or, you know, you can do a couple of things. You can, number one, you can just remind yourself that worrying is not going to affect the outcome. In fact, if any effect it's going to have, it's going to be a negative effect. So it's not doing me any good. And now I can bring myself back to the present moment. You can do that in many different ways. The most easy and available way to do that is to focus on your breath. And it can be as simple as just taking, say, 4 breaths. Okay, in that moment that you find yourself, worrying, just take 4 breaths and do them specifically, though. Do them just like this. 1 in, 1 out. 2 in, 2 out. 3 in, 3 out. 4 in, 4 out. And now just move on with what you're doing. And then if you go right back to worrying, just do it again. And do it again and again and again and again. As my colleague and friend Adam likes to say in our meditation, because this is essentially the same practice that you do when you're in meditation, right? When you're in meditation, you're focusing on your breath. You find your mind wanders, you bring it back, right? As Adam likes to say, it's not about not letting the mind wander. It's about if the mind wanders a million times, you bring it back 1,000,001, right? And that's literally how it goes. Now, what happens is, you know, again, the first few days is going to feel like, oh my gosh, I can't stop worrying. I'm so terrible at this. I'm failing. It's okay. By the end of the first week, you're not going to feel that way so much. You're still not going to be perfect. It's going to be years before you're perfect, but you're going to get better and better. And I shouldn't even say years. I mean, it can happen. I mean, perfect is perfect, right? But you're going to be 99% better within a few weeks, right? This is not a terribly long process, right? But it's reliant on you doing the practice, right? It could take years to see any improvement if you don't do the practice, right? All right. So folks, again, I'm going to leave that link in the description to get in touch with me. If you have any questions about this practice, you want some coaching to get through this, that's what I'm here for. Okay. So click the link if you want to talk to me. If you want to talk about me, you can do that anytime. You don't have to click anything for that. But please speak highly of me. But seriously, if you want to talk about anything, this practice, my new program, anything in between, got a suggestion for a topic, anything. Okay, click that link and let's get into a conversation. And any of you who are interested in joining our Saturday morning meditation tomorrow, starts at 9 a.m. Mountain Time, which is 8 a.m. in the Pacific Coast, 11 a.m. on the East Coast, and 10 a.m. in the Central Time Zone. All right, thank you so much, everybody. I wish you well, and I'll be back again on Monday with some great new stuff to share. I'm already really excited about Monday because I got a good one for you. All right, everybody, have a great day. I wish you well. Bye-bye.